at townhall.com.
Good morning. There are currently no backups, no accidents, and no broken down cars on any of the major highways, meaning 295, 10, I-95, and Butler Boulevard are all currently problem-free. Mostly sunny today. Our high will be 83. There's only about a 1 in 10 chance of rain today and tonight. The low this evening, 65. Right now, it's 63 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The FBI tells Governor Ron DeSantis that the Russians did hack two Florida counties in 2016. Republicans didn't win them all, but still did well. The city council elections were yesterday. And Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott introduces his term limits bill of 12 years for the House and the Senate.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
3 minutes after the hour. Good morning. I am your host, Ed Dean. The Republicans that actually did quite well. Terrence Freeman pulled a remarkable win yesterday. And Randy DeFore, we knew that race was going to be close, but she won that one. I think if the Democrats really wanted to complain, just blame it on the Russians.
Yeah. But Hazuri, who is a Democrat, did well as well.
By the way, Hazuri did well. And by the way, I went on Facebook this morning, and all the likes are from Republicans.
Yeah, very interesting.
It's interesting.
I believe he benefited from two things. One, name recognition, obviously, the former mayor, and also his endorsement of popular Republican mayor of Jacksonville, current mayor, Lenny Curry.
Yeah. It's interesting on that. We may have a little bit of breakdown. Anyway, 831-0600. Don't forget, you can download the website. But not to download the website, you can download the radio app and listen to us on your smartphones anywhere throughout the area. Just go to WBOB.com. I'm your host, Ed Dean. Let's get to some of the big national news before we get to some state and local news as well. Gallup, it says that President Trump has the most steadiest numbers. Guess what? When it comes to any of approval rating, that's not saying it's a pro or a con, but the numbers have stayed consistent. Zogby poll has them as of today at 51%. According even to Democrat pollster Pia Nargundar, whether you agree with him or not, his approval rating has had the most consistent of any president in history.
You know, Gallup did an analysis at the end of last year and found that President Trump actually has the most steady approval rating of any president in history. And so some people take the pessimistic view of that and say, you know, nothing he does affects him. Some people take the optimistic view and say, look, he never had a honeymoon period. He hasn't had any, you know, large bumps due to his trade policy or his tax cut or anything like that. And so no matter what, it's just going to sort of
stay. Yeah, I mean, I think she's right. I mean, she's a Democrat pollster. I mean, Trump really has not had or was not allowed to have a honeymoon victory. I wonder if there's a reason why.
In that zone. And I feel like that's been borne out so far.
Jim, my friend, Republican consultant Alex Cassiano, says that Donald Trump never had a honeymoon because he came here to make war, not to make love.
That's a good line.
Yeah. So that number doesn't move. Are other people willing to say that they're also in the make war business? They're just ready for
Yeah, I mean, do we all want to get along or do we want to make war? What it is good for. Yeah, you should use
absolutely
that.
Nothing. Say
yeah,
it again.
That's right. Even the Democrat officials, remember Maria Harfey was with the Outnumbered show on Fox News, says that, listen, despite whatever you think about Trump, she said this before, Democrats have got to win those voters back that Trump was able to gain in 2016.
I also think Joe Biden speaks to the kind of voters Democrats know they need to get back in the upper Midwest, in the Rust Belt, in states like Pennsylvania. It's Democrats, people who used to vote Democratic, right? Union members, white men, particularly white women, sort of that middle class that Democrats lost to Donald Trump.
Wait a second. I thought we could just blame everything on the Russians. But then again, I guess Hillary didn't campaign. Hey, I was listening. Where was I? Was this an NPR thing I was listening to the other night? Don't ask me why I was listening to it. It was show research. They were talking about the reasons why, a little inside baseball, but this, some of you listening today will probably like this. Hillary never campaigned in Wisconsin.
Right.
Really didn't campaign in Pennsylvania, not even in Michigan. And I always thought that maybe she had the Obama team. And Obama was tremendous in 2008 and even more so even in Florida in 2012. But they did a number, for example, in many areas like nationwide. Let's say Obama had 60 offices. Hillary only had 40. Obama had 100 field workers. Hillary only had 60. So evidently, I think they assumed that they were going to win this thing easily.
Yeah, you cannot take the voters for granted. You know, you got to campaign, even those who are loyalists, because, you know, a big thing has to do with turnout. You know, if you can't get your people to the polls,
but
you're not going to win.
But Roger, Democrats won in 2018. There was a blue wave in the U.S. House. Does that mean anything that could hurt Trump coming up in 2020? Not according to former CNN polling analyst Bill Snyder.
Bill, have you seen this movie before? I don't know what happens with these presidential numbers just after a midterm.
They don't mean anything. You can do very well in a midterm and then everything gets lost. Bill Clinton had a humiliation in 1994. In 1996, he was easily reelected.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything in the long term.
And Barack Obama had an even bigger embarrassment in 2010, and he was able to win back in 2012.
Yeah, very, very surprising. Even I believe he was shocked by that because he'd made statements saying, hey, if I don't turn this economy around, then I'm one term.
That's
he
probably
didn't turn it around and
even,
he got reelected.
Even election analysis Henry Olsen says, hey, okay, so according to some of the polls, Trump might crack 50, but at 46-47%, that's all he needs in order to win reelection.
Still at 47%. It's not like he's has he ever crossed 50? I don't know about your poll, but he's never been out 50 in any average through an entire public career.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the president doesn't need 50 to win. Is that because opposition to him is so concentrated in large blue states? If he's at 47 on election day, he's over 50% in every swing state.
Ah, then he says he could actually win that. As you know, Democrats, do they need to compromise in order to beat President Trump in 2020? The only one who seems to, well, there's a couple of candidates just got in. The Montana governor seen as a very moderate candidate, but Joe Biden is now considered as a moderate candidate underneath a liberal president. He was the VP with Barack H. Obama. But according to Peter Ducey, 2020 poll says that Democrats would compromise their beliefs. Progressives, would they compromise their beliefs in order to beat Trump in 2020?
And now, a majority of registered Democrats say they'd compromise their own beliefs to beat President Trump. 56% polled by Monmouth say they'd support a primary candidate they disagree with on the issues as long as the candidate is the strongest against the president. Right now, the biggest policy issue is health care, and the proposal pushed by progressive hopefuls is Medicare for all. More moderate Democrats are waiting to see if ideas like that catch on.
Yeah, and so, but the problem is that doesn't sit well with the far left. Listen to Alexandria Cortez. She says, wait, move in the middle on issues like climate change and other areas, that does not sit well with me.
I am not here to tell you that all Democrats are good and all Republicans are bad, and that if you simply elect someone with a D next to their name, that our problems will be solved.
Now, listen, before I go any further, I hate to admit this, I agree with her.
Yeah.
There are those, well, if you elect a Republican, this will change everything, or elect a Democrat. Actually, it doesn't, but I digress. Let me allow her to finish.
And all Republicans are bad, and that if you simply elect someone with a D next to their name, that our problems will be solved. I've been told from people on both sides of the aisle that we need to frack more, and that we need to build more pipelines, both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, you know, she has an interesting point. I don't know how many of you know this. You know, President, and we're going to get to some of the other clips here, mm-hmm. where they say there is no compromise. There is no middle ground when it comes to climate change and a Green New Energy Deal. Oh, my word, wait till you hear these clips. But I want to remind people that even as bad as President Obama was, some of the northern liberals didn't like it because he had no problem with supporting fracking in some of those northern states.
Exactly. You know, and that creates jobs. It helps their local economy, puts food on their children's table. But, you know, if you're a Democrat and you're Ocasio-Cortez, who would you rather work with, though? You know, President Trump or Republican Congress, or Republican U.S. Senate, or Democrats, even if they're moderate?
Well, then, here's more of her clip.
If the same politicians who refused to act then are going to try to come back today and say we need a middle of the road approach to save our lives, that is too much for me.
She says, I don't go along with this. By the way, you know, Democrats have always advocated lately now, not always, but well, I guess maybe going back to the 2000 election, by eliminating the Electoral College out there. A lot of Democrats say yes, Republicans say no. Should we not go along with the popular vote? Republican pollster Jim Holbert does make a kind of interesting take on this that may attract some people. He says, by eliminating the Electoral College, believe it or not, it would force candidates to campaign in areas they normally would not, and Democrat and Republicans, like rural sections of the community and also urban sections?
I think that you would see more campaigning where the people are. Los Angeles County, largest county in the country, that would become all of a sudden a lot more important than it is now. And I think you would see a lot more rallies in places in California and New York and Cook County and Illinois on the Democratic side, and maybe some of the booming exurban counties in Texas on the Republican side. And you wouldn't see these rallies in the Green Bay, Wisconsins and the Panama City beaches of the world anymore.
Yeah, I like the Electoral College, but I kind of understand where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do as well. You know, the urban centers are where the votes will then be. If we do away the Electoral College. And also, another thing that people aren't considering, Puerto Rico or the U.S. Virgin Islands would instantly start voting for president because they're U.S. citizens.
Yeah, on that take as well. Our friends at News 4 Jacksonville, up in Jacksonville, Kent Justice says that, and I want to get to this clip here in a few moments, about how, and some of you on the left are going to like this story, but guess what? Russians did hack, got into a couple of counties in the 2016 elections. By the way, according to the statewide supervisor of elections, they had about 3,500 of those, as they call phishing, P-H-I-S-I-N-G, however you want to, or P-H-I, whatever you want to spell it,
mm-hmm.
where they're just trying to mess around, see what they can have some sort of fun here. On the other side, I want to play that clip where DeSantis is like, wait a second, and why didn't the State Department, under the Obama administration, by the way, also the State Department, the Trump administration, why didn't they tell us?
Yeah.
This type of take. So we'll get off to that in a little bit. Ed Markey, the guy who is now the father, he's a Democrat senator from Massachusetts, along with AOC. They applaud the terms. Hey, if you want to call it, they say, quote, give me some of that socialism as long as it goes after the big companies on the issue of the Green New Deal. We'll get into all that in a little bit. And by the way, what about tariffs? Is tariffs a good thing for the American consumer? And what about businesses out there? Well, how of all of this? Coming up next, I am your host, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 14 minutes after the hour, Talk Radio WBOB.
But I-295 South at San Jose Boulevard, we're looking at a broken down car. Road Ranger now on the scene there. Not a lot of backup just yet on I-95, I-10, and on Butler Boulevard, everything's okay.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, May 18th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, May 18th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the Military and Veterans Expo at TIAA Bank Field. And Saturday, May 18th at 7 p.m., it's the Jacksonville Sharks versus the Orlando Predators at ViStar Veterans Arena.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Zoner's Pizza, Wings, and Waffles is now open 7 days a week at 8116 Old Kings Road South. Zoner's has regular and specialty pizza, wings, sandwiches, including the pulled pork waffle sandwich, salads, and scrumptious desserts. Try the cheesecake waffle sandwich based on a recipe from Herschel Walker's mother. Dine in, take out, or call for delivery. 551-5608. Zoner's Pizza, Wings, and Waffles, 8116 Old Kings Road South, between University and Bay Meadows. Open 11 a.m. 7 days a week.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you want to know the most important thing about a diamond's beauty, the answer would be the way it's cut. There's a trade-off between a diamond cut for maximum beauty and one cut for maximum weight, and it's seen in the price. You see, diamond cutters buy rough diamonds based on weight, so all the diamond weight that's cut away can affect their profit. But because there are known cutting parameters for the ideal or most beautiful diamond, deviations from these will yield a heavier and less beautiful diamond. Unfortunately, customers can't detect cutting imperfections without expert help. And in fact, diamonds of the same weight, color, and clarity can vary in value by as much as 50% or more just because of the way it's cut. At Underwoods, we look at how a diamond is cut first, and we have the computerized gemological equipment to determine the quality of the cut and the light performance of the diamond to see if the diamond should carry the Underwood name. So if quality counts with you, stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Not just what is happening in Venezuela. What should the United States do, if anything, about Venezuela? It is a political question, and it is a moral question. Joel Kotkin, a liberal, writes about how the Greens and the intelligentsia are destroying the Australian dream. Next, Dennis Prager Show.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon on Talk Radio.
AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Lots of sunshine today and a high of 83. Only a 1 in 10 chance of rain. This evening will be clear with a low of 65. Right now it's 62 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9. Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Gallup analyst finds that President Trump has the steadiest approval rating of any president in history. Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott introduces his term limits bill of 12 years for the House and the Senate. And Democrats say there's no middle ground when tackling climate change.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Don't forget, the email address is you heard at wbob.com. Barney Bishop's going to be in the studios live with us on Friday.
Good.
How many of y'all want to hang out after Friday's morning show? I may buy coffee for a lot of people. You guys want to do it? Shoot me an email, would you? I want to get you on a list. Maybe a small gathering. Ed at WBOB.com. Ed at WBOB.com. Let's continue on with the news. U.S. Senator Rick Scott is proposing a 12-year term limits for the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate. Current members of Congress would be grandfathered in. And, of course, they would have to, it wouldn't be retroactive. There's some term limits plans in Florida if things kick back retroactive. I'm a huge fan of term limits. But I got to be consistent. He needs to start. With everybody needs to start at the same time. So retroactive, I got to be consistent here. As much as I probably wouldn't mind it, I got to be a purist. Start it when their next campaign begins. But he says those out there would already be grandfathered in. He says, I want to see a vote. I always know we propose these ideas. Mm-hmm. I would actually, the last time we seen one of these votes was back in 1995 under the GOP House with the Contract with America.
You know what? I think it's genius for him to decide to do this by allowing the current congressmen and senators to be grandfathered in, because most of them aren't going to vote themselves out of a job, to be perfectly frank with you. But I wonder whether or not this is going to pass anyway.
It ain't going to pass.
Doesn't this need to be a constitutional amendment and not just a federal bill?
Maybe. You know? Maybe, but do you need? But I mean, federal bills can also get on things out there. A state's can apply to it. Do you need a constitutional amendment
right.
in some cases?
But yeah, so. but does the federal government at the without a constitutional amendment have the authority to tell the states you can't send this particular person here because they've been here too long?
Yeah, that would be an interesting example. It's interesting. States like Virginia, which are states, only have one term for a governor.
Huh? Yeah.
But you're right. So it's going to be interesting to see how a lot of that would go. Guess what? Elections were hacked here in the state of Florida. There's a new report that came out that two Florida counties were hacked by Russians prior to the 2016 elections. So it did happen. But how come the Obama administration didn't bother to tell anybody about this? Our affiliate, Kent Justice, News 4 Jax.
Now there's confirmation that at least two Florida counties were hacked during the election of 2016. Senator Bill Nelson claimed it last summer during his campaign for re-election. He said Florida had been hacked during the 2016 election cycle. Governor Rick Scott said, essentially, prove it. Well, now there's proof revealed with a single sentence in the Mueller report. It says the FBI suspected Russian military intelligence hackers were able to gain access to the network of at least one Florida county government through a spear phishing campaign.
Two Florida counties experienced intrusion into the supervisor of election networks. There was no manipulation or anything.
Governor Ron DeSantis met with the FBI in Tallahassee and announced that two counties were hacked. However, he won't reveal which counties, and he says the hack didn't change any results.
I'm not allowed to name the counties. I signed a disclosure agreement. I think they think that if we name the counties, then that may reveal information to the perpetrators that we know.
Wait a second. You know what? Can you imagine if these two counties were West Palm Beach and Broward?
That was the exact same thing
That's
was thinking.
Too
I said
funny.
They're Broward County. I was thinking maybe they were political footballs and they didn't want to turn this into a situation would end up being.
Actually, the governor had to sign a non-disclosure agreement with the FBI.
Right.
That's the reason why he couldn't do it out there.
So kind of what they did.
Says both counties were notified about the hack prior to the 2016 election and worked with the FBI to eliminate the threat. DeSantis also says the FBI praised Florida for being ahead of other states in terms of cyber security.
Now, did you hear what he said? He said both counties were warned by the FBI, but not overall things were done by the FBI, that, hey, we've got some intelligence people or unintelligent from other countries trying to hack things there. But even Ron DeSantis says, you know, wait, I wasn't told this about it before. He says Governor Rick Scott evidently wasn't told this about it. U.S. Senator Bill Nelson did mention this last year, and I thought even back then it was some sort of ploy, but he wouldn't tell you where the intelligence came from.
Yeah, Senator Rubio also has spoken out against this, and to me, it's not really any new news, to be frank with you, other than the briefing that the governor got by the FBI
yesterday.
But
they said that no voter data was public, and they didn't cause anything to sway any of the votes, or they manipulate the votes.
From what I understand, they gained access to the system, but once inside, they didn't make any changes on registration details, and they didn't change any votes.
Yeah. I got boot edge, Beto. Beto's falling fast. Bernie's crazy. Pocahontas, I think, is probably out.
Donald Trump giving out people's names out there. Is the issue of climate change, is there any room for compromise? Yes, folks, I even admit some on the left and some on the right don't like the word compromise. Sometimes you got to do it in order to get things going, some would say, pro or con. But on the issue of climate change, is it all or nothing? Fox News' Peter Ducey says liberals are angry that Biden may go to the middle ground on the issue of, quote, climate change.
Progressives are upset that a Biden climate change advisor told Reuters what we learned from the Obama administration is unless we find middle ground on these issues, we risk not having any policies. But Biden believes the Obama White House did plenty.
Yeah, so was the Obama White House pretty on the middle? According to the Federalist Molling Hemingway, guess what? Democrats, they've shown that they don't want any type of compromise.
Sanders said that there is no middle ground. You had other candidates saying that as well. And there is kind of a truth to that. People who care a lot about this issue think it calls for a radical overhaul of the economy. And doing minor regulatory issues is not going to satisfy them. At the same time, those minor regulatory issues are precisely why Republicans have a huge advantage in general elections, because people in general tend to view this much differently than the Democratic Party, which favors government action to deal with global warming, and the average voter is not going to be find that as appealing. This is a great example of how the Democratic Party's base can cause problems for the eventual nominee.
Now, again, I understand when you look at it, you want to compromise, somehow move to the middle, but is this what they really want? Listen to this clip. This is probably a little bit around a minute long. I'll break it up here. Listen to Massachusetts Senator Democrat Ed Markey. He says the Green New Deal, go after big companies. He says, and if you call this socialism, give me some of it, would you? Clip number 8.
We can create high quality jobs and enforce labor standards, guarantee rights to retirement security and health care, and conduct inclusive decision making. We can engage in job creation that is good for all of creation. That is what the Green New Deal is all about.
Wait, can I ask this question? At least conservatives, whether you agree with them or not, and I like the tax cuts, at least you need to break down in some of the areas where the manufacturing jobs are now at an all-time high, that since 20 years with Bill Clinton, consumer confidence. A lot of this is going the right way, of course. Can you really give former President Barack Obama the credit? But at least you want to break down specifics. I'm still waiting for liberals to at least identify and at least have a conversation with me on where you can tell me where all these jobs are going to be created, because we tried all of this. We tried it with the stimulus back in 2009 and 10. We tried to have Green New Deal back then. It wasn't called. And the money just didn't produce all of these, quote, environmental jobs out there.
Here's the problem I think the Democrats and those on the left have when, you know, promoting their environmentalist, you know, agenda. And that is they are projecting upon the entire country things that only they care about. I think if they got behind more nuclear energy, a lot of what they want to accomplish could be done.
I think you're right.
The critics have lined up to take their shots at the Green New Deal. Totally bogus stories about ice cream and hamburgers and airplanes. They call the Green New Deal pie in the sky. They call it socialism.
Listen.
But
did you hear that? Listen to the audience applaud.
In the sky. They call it socialism. But
they love it, but listen to what he says. We're going to go after these companies. And if you want to call it socialism, he says, quote, give me some of that, would you?
What about the oil and gas industry tax breaks that are a permanent part of the tax code? some of which have been on the books for over 100 years. But Republicans only call it socialism when we try to help the things we like. So here's what I say for wind and solar and all electric vehicles and clean energy, give us some of that socialism that the oil and gas industry has had for a century.
Just listen. They love it. Give me some of that socialism out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? He may have a point. You know, the U.S. taxpayers do help to subsidize the oil industry.
So. How do they help subsidize it?
Well, you know what? Whenever we
they're making billions. How's the government subsidizing?
They are making billions of dollars, but we put a lot of our military might and resources into protecting things like no-fly zones in order to protect the free flow of oil from the Middle
East.
Wait.
We also have no-fly zones over certain government facilities as well.
Well, that's true, but, you know.
We have no-fly zones over certain airports.
Right. But when you
how's the government? I'm just kind of curious.
You look at the Iraq War. That was not necessarily about anything other than maintaining the free flow of oil. That was at taxpayer expense.
Well, I was told it was about terrorism, whether which one you buy. But if it's through a already tax cuts that they already pay in,
right.
How are they getting now? They're getting direct taxpayer dollars, and that's a little bit a different story. But the difference between a tax cut and subsidizing. In many cases, when you're already paying into the system, are two different things.
Yeah. Well,
by the way, when you get your IRS check back, is the government subsidizing you?
Haven't got one of those in a while.
Yeah.
But probably
no,
not.
No, should you paid into the system out there. So some would call it maybe subsidizing.
But is it a different level of refund than any other American would get because I'm Roger? That's the question.
Well, if you get a refund, but if you overpaid the system, is that insane? Well, the government subsidizing? No, you overpaid. And if people paid into taxes and overpaid, is that called a subsidizing out there from all those companies? Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 831-0600. Let's go to George. Hey, George, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Two things, Green New Deal and the Russians. The Green New Deal is really not that much about the environment. It's about control. And they will use the environment to control businesses and actually destroy them. And the Russians were after a list of super voters.
I don't think they actually know who they were going after, George. I think they just did this just to have some fun. I mean, look. I mean, really, you think they were that technology, technical savvy out there, Roger? I mean, look at their Facebook ads. I mean, even those out there said it looked like something done by a fifth grader. And so it was. I think they do things just to kind of mess up other ads.
I also wonder whether or not it was a test run. They just wanted to see if they could get in
point.
There and then maybe 4 years later do some damage.
That is a great question. Coming up next, what do you guys think about tariffs? And by the way, Florida gun control advocates are claiming victory here in Florida thanks to the Republicans and Governor Rick Scott. Now they want to implement gun control on the federal level. They're claiming they got bragging rights. Some would maybe agree with them. We'll have this conversation coming up next. 831-0600 Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio AM 600 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Com promo.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A bill that's received final legislative approval in Alabama bans just about all abortions in the state, making it a felony to perform the procedure at any stage of a pregnancy. Backers of the bill hope it will result in the Supreme Court reconsidering Roe v. Wade. At this point, we don't know if the Alabama governor will sign the bill into law. A federal district judge giving attorneys until tomorrow to submit final arguments on the president's attempts to quash a subpoena for his financial records. The U.S. Embassy in Iraq says the State Department is ordering all non-essential, non-emergency government staffers to leave the country immediately, this amid escalating tensions with Iran. On Wall Street this morning, stock futures pointing to a lower open. Right now, Dow futures down about 60 points, S&P futures off 6 points, and NASDAQ futures 11 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. On I-295 North at Normandy Boulevard, there's been an accident, and it's on both the left and right emergency lanes. 295 North at Normandy Boulevard, actually, this is the same accident apparently reported into us twice. And then if you are at 95 North at 8th Street, there's backup starting to build. Mostly sunny today and a high of 83 this evening, clear, and a low of 65. Right now it's 63 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott introduces his term limit bill of 12 years for the House and the Senate. The FBI tells Governor Ron DeSantis that Russians did hack two Florida counties in 2016. And Republicans didn't win them all, but it still did well at last night's city council elections yesterday.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Let's continue on with the news. I'm your host, Ed Dean. Next year, Roger, well, actually, their signature is coming up right now, but next year, and I think you are correct. I think a lot of people are correct. You don't have to agree with the amendment. I do think that the proposal to ban guns here in the state of Florida is going to make it on the ballot. All of those and some of the victims of the Parkland shooting that took place in February of 2018 are promoting this Moms Demand Gun Action Everywhere, ban assault weapons. Now, that's the name of the Florida group out there. And they haven't been, or they haven't truly identified which quote, assault weapons, rifles, they say. Again, remember, more handguns are used in crimes. But they haven't addressed which guns they want to ban. But it looks like the language, and they will at least get the signatures out there to possibly get it on a 2020 ballot. Those out there supporting gun control measures now say we need to address it federally because they're bragging. And guess who they're giving the credit for? The Republicans to promoting their pro-gun control measures. Listen to this clip by CNN's Allison Camerato.
They really want, as you heard them say, federal legislation. They did something remarkable. They got Florida, where, you know, people feel strongly about their guns, to change the legislation in the wake of what happened in Parkland. Now they want it on a national scale. So
you hear that? They say, well, this is the David Hogg trial. These are the, you know, the victims turned student activists that are now saying they want more gun control here. And folks, they're saying we got things accomplished. And listen, I think they've got some brag-worthy areas here. I don't agree with them, but they've got some bragging rights. They say, look what we did within a matter of a month, month and a half. We got the Republican governor and the Republican legislature to increase the ages of 18 to 21 in order for you to be able to purchase a gun.
Very, very interesting. And it's incrementalism. Of course, we know the ultimate goal is to, you know, all things equal, disarm America. But if they can take it a step at a time and create enough, you know, demonization of those who, you know, hold dear their Second Amendment rights, then eventually they may get there. It may take a while, but they're going that way.
Of what happened in Parkland. Now they want it on a national scale. So, of course, they want universal background checks. They want to ban really high capacity magazines. They want more dollars, federal dollars, to study gun violence. We don't have to live this way. I feel as though somehow we've accepted that this is our new
Now, so she gives the report. Now she's a news anchor, which is fine. She wanted to give her opinion. She goes, we don't have to live this way. There are things to be done. This should not be the new norm.
We don't have to live this way. I feel as though somehow we've accepted that this is our new normal. We don't have to send our kids off to school every day just crossing our fingers and hoping that they're not sitting ducks for gun violence. We can fix this. We're better than this. We just don't have to live.
But her idea is taking away the guns. My question is, if this is the new normal in our public schools here in the state of Florida, how do you address the new normal then? I don't think it is the new normal, but having said that, how do you address it? Planes going into buildings and towers happened on 9/11. As far as we know, it's terrorist activity.
Of course.
We were told, hey, folks, be ready. This could be the new norm. Now, we've stopped a lot of terrorist activities as well. We've had some certain areas of terrorist activities that took place in Fort Hood back in 2009, also with vans driving down people over the last couple of years. It's a different new norm. But the question is it normal to have gun shootings at our schools every day? No, it is not.
It is not. Yeah, and she is correct in that, you know, they got the Republican governor and the Republican legislature to enact new gun legislation. However, at the same time, there has also been legislation to increase the use of law-abiding citizens to carry guns, such as the in-school guardian program.
Right.
That's more guns in school than less. And you have testified to this. There are more people in Florida right now getting their concealed weapons permits than ever before.
A lot of women, by the way.
Yeah.
So, but my question is, if you buy into that Florida schools, first off, let me ask you this, you listening out there. Whatever issue you're on in this gun debate or about arming teachers, do you believe it has now become the new norm that we expect violence to automatically take place in our public schools And if you believe that's the new norm, what is your recourse? What is your alternative? Is it to eliminate the guns? Or if you believe this is or is, okay, let's say this is the new norm, how do you plan to counteract that?
Yes.
Or do you believe this really isn't the new norm? This is something being promoted by Dems and by the left for more gun control measures.
Right. And is it just for optics? You know, they say, okay, we're going to come out against this, this, and this. And how many 21-year-olds actually, 18 to 21-year-olds actually are buying guns anyway? Does it really have an effect?
Listen to Chuck Todd, host of Meet the Press. He says, what's going on with these Democrats? They're too slow going after President Trump.
Where is the Democratic Party's strategery? There's subpoenas for the full Mueller report. For Trump's taxes, for Trump's financial records, for White House documents involving Don McGahn, Mueller's star witness. You name it, the administration is not complying. And Republicans in Congress are essentially supporting the Stonewall. So Democrats today scheduled a hearing for McGahn, but it's unclear if he'll actually show up. Their threats of contempt, censure, fines, and jail time just don't seem to be moving the ball on any of these probes. Which brings us to this latest NBC News report. Just in the last few hours, that rank-and-file Democrats in the House are urging a second look at impeachment. And the bigger question is this. At some point, is the leader of the Congressional Democrats, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, going to set some parameters as to when are they going to draw the line and where do the lines get drawn?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Where do you draw the line? Hold on, just one more time, not the whole clip, just right here where he asked this question here.
Going to set some parameters as to when are they going to draw the line, and where do the lines get drawn?
That is a great question. If you believe, and I posted this on my Facebook page the other day, if you believe that the president is the worst president in history, if you believe that he's obstruction of justice, he's violating the Constitution, then what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
What are you waiting for? I mean, if you believe that articles of impeachment have already been drawn, then why not go through with them?
Because they do not have a unified position on the Democrat side on whether or not to go forward with
it.
It seems as if congressional Democrats didn't. I think that Speaker Pelosi and, frankly, Chairman Cummings and Chairman Schiff and Chairman Nadler all thought, you know, they'll eventually cooperate. They're not going to do this.
Yeah, I guess Trump isn't, and those guys are not going to cooperate. Are you guys ready for this story? I love talking about the issue of jobs here in Florida. As you know, there's a proposed constitutional amendment pushed out there by John Morgan, the very well-known attorney here in the state of Florida, Roger. Instead of going out with a $15 an hour minimum wage, that now, and I understand this may be very smart on the liberal side, is to incrementally increase it, started at $10 and then up to 2025, 2026, then at $15 an hour. The reason why I think this is a good issue is because you look at a lot of jobs here in Florida, Walmart, Costco, other companies out there that have said, Amazon, we're paying the $12 to $15 an hour. We don't need a minimum wage hike up here. We're doing it on our own. Do you know that here in the state of Florida, according to Reader's Digest, guess how much a Walmart manager without bonuses, some say, are taking home an average each year? Guess what they are. I know you know. Go ahead and tell what the answer is.
It's between $100,000 and $200,000.
Okay,
a year.
That's a big spread there, Roger. You can make it a little bit more specific.
I forgot the exact. Was
$175,000 a year.
That's the guy in the blue uniform at Walmart.
No, it's not the guy in the blue uniform. It's the
manager,
boss.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready for this? For Costco here, do you know that general managers get an average base of $106,000 a year? The overall salaries range from nearly $50,000 to $180,000. Warehouse managers, no college degree in the state of Florida, can make between $52,000 and $146,000 a year, and assistant managers take home around $85,000 a year.
I heard a report that they start their full-time employees out at $65,000 a year, but they have a lot of part-timers who, you know, kind of get their sea legs on how to run the store, but all of their full-time employees can't act as an acting manager at any one time, so they give them the training to run the store.
And Reader's Digest points out that in the state of Florida and other areas, these totals don't even include the various benefits like bonus, stocks, commission, which means they can take an additionally another $8,000 to $10,000 home annually. Now, folks, you don't need a college degree for this. Remember, some of the moving companies out there say some of our drivers can start off $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year.
Right.
UPS drivers, $70,000+ a year.
Right. Many UPS and Publix drivers that carry the groceries around, they are retiring millionaires because they put a lot of their money into their 401k program, and they've got a nice little nest egg when it's time to retire.
And I think when you have this argument and you listen to the left, I don't think the left really has that much ammunition. That is the typical magic wand theory. Well, not everybody. And folks, that's been since the dawn of creation, and it's going to end. It won't end when you and I are gone. Nobody's still going to have equal, income inequality. Sometimes I'm glad there is, because it gives people an extra opportunity to outshine others.
Yeah, and that's what the free market is about. You know, if you want to increase your pay, maybe fill out an application at Costco.
So what do you think? Do you think this really outdoes the art? I mean, $175,000 for Walmart managers. The question is, can that trickle down to the smaller employee? We'll have more of this discussion coming up next. I'm your host, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. All right, 831-0600. Let me ask a question. If you were an advisor, and you don't have to be an advisor, but if you were part of a panel that would sit back and say, you want to retain good employees at Walmart or other companies, what would you do to encourage them to retain them? I have an idea, but I nobody cares about my opinion. I want to know what you think. 831-0600, 831-0600. Do you believe that companies are doing enough to keep their employees? Because turnover is what costs a lot of companies more money because of the job training. Do you believe that companies are doing enough to retain employees? And if you want to look at Walmart, if you want to look at Target, how do you make it where people are just dying to get in the door to get a job? How would you change that system? 831-0600. Roger says, too many government subsidies going to these oil companies. Do you agree with that? 831-0600. 831-0600. And if you want to address the issue, Democrats and the media says that this should not be the new norm for kids going at schools worrying about gun violence. First off, do you believe that this is the new norm? And if it is the new norm, how do you address it? Should we have more of the arms resource officers, the armed teachers, or do you have more guns in the schools, or do you have more gun control, or do you believe this isn't the new norm? This is just something being pushed by the Dems in the media. What's your take on this? 831-0600, 904-831. 0600 Talk Radio WBOB.
On the West Beltway, I-295 going north at the Normandy Boulevard exit. There's been a pretty bad accident there. The left lane currently blocked, as well as both emergency lanes. And if you are trying to either enter or leave downtown, the Main Street Bridge has just gone up to make way for boat traffic.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I believe our life becomes very different when we, in our work, whether it be a homemaker or a salesperson, an accountant, a carpenter, when we do our work for Christ, our life becomes different. All of our duties in our daily life should be done for the glory of God. That is Christian stewardship of all the talents that He's given us. Stewardship for the glory of God.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. A month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Will President Trump be able to stop Robert Mueller from testifying? Did Bill Barr really lie to Congress? And who really started Russiagate? Andy McCarthy will join me in studio to give you all of those answers on the next America First with me, Dr. G. We'll also speak to Boris Epstein about the clown car of 2020 Democrat candidates and also my Salem Radio colleague, Eric Metaxas, about his new national TV show.
America First with Sebastian Gorka, Saturday nights, 6 till 9 p.m. on WBOB.
Lots of sunshine today. 83 degrees will be the high. There's only a 1 in 10 chance of rain today and tonight. Tonight mostly clear with a low of 65. Right now it's 63 at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Democrats say there is no middle ground when tackling climate change. Gallup analyst finds that President Trump has the steadiest approval rating of any president in history. And Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott introduces his term limits bill of 12 years for the House and the Senate.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Oh, they really want, as you heard them say, federal legislation. They did something remarkable. They got Florida, where, you know, people feel strongly about their guns, to change the legislation in the wake of what happened in Parkland. Now they want it on a national scale. So
CNN, Allison Camerato, folks, she's got a valid point. You know, the Democrats, especially here in the state of Florida, the Parkland students, that are now turned activists along with banned guns. Now, you know, they want to put a constitutional measure here in the state of Florida, and they probably will get enough signatures to put it on a ballot measure coming up next year in the November ballot for 2020. Allison Camerato, does she have a good point? She didn't mention that it was the Republicans that pushed for the gun control measure after the Parkland shooting. Everybody claims that, well, all of these are a bunch of Dems and liberals. And guess what? 97% of the time, you are correct. But let's remind everybody that the gun control measures pushed last year, which increased the ages, not 18 to 19, not 18 to 20, but 18 to 21, was done by the Republican House, the Republican-led state Senate here in Florida, along with then a Republican governor, now a U.S. Senator, Governor Rick Scott.
Yeah, but I wonder how many guns are being purchased by teenagers in this country, 18 to 21.
18 is an adult.
I know, but, you know, he's technically, you know, he's a young person. Did it really make that big of an impact? And at the same time, we saw the Guardian program rolled out where now teachers and school employees can carry guns into the classroom, and more people than ever before are getting their concealed weapons permit. So, you know, did the two kind of balance out each other?
Interesting. That is an interesting question. So, Roger, without putting words in your mouth, are you kind of, for the audience out there, you're saying that, hey, big deal, how many people are actually buying guns at 18? Let's just jack at the 21.
Right.
Well, how many people are buying guns at age 20? I don't know.
Yeah. I'd like to look at the numbers of that, you know, whether or not it was something that was symbolic that, you know, kind of appealed to people's senses of, you know, maybe these, you know, unstable people who are very, very young, like the Nicholas Cruz and the other young shooters. They have been in that particular age group themselves. And are the typical 18, 19 and 21 year olds, are they actually buying guns? Are they a big consumer base? Meanwhile, like I said, the Guardian program is now law in Florida.
Yeah, but I think it's night and day. I don't think the Guardian program, and it was part of the bill, but you should have anything to do with whether or not you're 18 or 21 to be able to purchase a gun.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not sure what impact it's made. That's the thing.
So the question is 831-0600, 831-0600. So does Roger have a valid point? Hey, guys, how many 18-year-olds in Florida are really buying guns? How many 20-year-olds? I mean, jack the age to 21, big deal. Now, I believe, I know I'm going to get the emails at WBOB.com. Well, it's their constitutional right. I understand that argument.
Right.
But does Roger have, on the reality world based on facts, does Roger have a valid point? 831-0600. I mean, 18-year-old, how many 18, 19, 20-year-olds are buying rifles here in the state of Florida, or guns? What's the problem of making the age to 21? But Camerato, says, and she brings out an interesting point, now the same proponents have the wind to their backs because of the gun control measures that have been passed. Now they want to do it on a federal level.
Of course. They want universal background checks. They want to ban really high capacity magazines. They want more dollars, federal dollars, to study gun violence. We don't have to live this way. I feel as though somehow we've accepted that this is our new normal. We don't have to send our kids off to school every day just crossing our fingers and hoping that they're not sitting ducks for gun violence. We can fix this. We're better than this. We just don't have to live this way.
She advocates more gun control. She says that is how we fix the problem here. My question to you at 831-0600, first off, we have a lot of teachers listen to this show. Some of the parents, let me ask you, is this becoming like the Mueller report where, I mean, now this is law. The Mueller report pretty much is concrete. There was no Russia collusion that took place, okay, especially to an age of crime. It is now being signed into law. The school unions have said they're going to school the local school district, wherever you're listening. They're going to sue your local school district if they decide to go down this road here. So my question to you is this being talked about with parents or teachers that this is the new norm? Because I don't know if it is the new norm. Do we actually have guns coming to our schools every day?
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully not. We do hear the cases where, you know, some kid has a gun in his backpack, but I can probably guarantee he didn't buy it legally.
Yeah, so the question is this the new norm? That guns are coming to our schools every day. Do you believe it is the new norm? And if it is the new norm, do you address it through more gun violence? What about the issue of talking about the issue of gun violence out there? Like to hear what you think. 831-0600, 831-0600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
On the West Beltway, I-295 north at Normandy Boulevard, there's been a serious crash there. We're seeing lots of backup. Left lane is blocked or may have just cleared up. Emergency lane, obviously, does still have cars. On Butler Boulevard east at San Pablo, we're looking at backup there. And if you're on I-95 going south around the Fuller Warren Bridge, there's slowdown.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. We understand that shopping for jewelry can be a frustrating experience, with everybody claiming they're a gemologist and people using loose quality grading standards. It's also impossible for a layman to be able to judge a gemstone for quality. So all a person can really do is judge the jeweler. Now at Underwoods, we're members of the American Gem Society, where our jewelers are registered and our sales associates and gemologists are certified. We're tested on an annual basis to re-win these professional titles. In fact, the American Gem Society was founded in 1934 to protect the consumer, and members can be thrown out for unethical practices. Underwoods is the longest standing member in the state of Florida. Now, not every jeweler is a member, so if you're shopping for jewelry, ask those common sense questions like, what are your qualifications? Ask to see their education certificates, and ask if they're members of the American Gem Society. And if they're not a member, you might want to ask, why not?
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click plumberinjax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7. Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, these three words bring feelings of fear and anxiety. Contact J. David Tax Law. Recently voted best tax attorney in Jacksonville by Folio Weekly Readers and selected as a 2019 Ultimate Tax Attorney by the Jacksonville Business Journal. When you owe the IRS or Florida sales tax and can't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. Don't wait. Call J. David Tax Law for your no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your tax problems step by step, explain your options, and how we will resolve your tax issue once and for all.
See why J. David Tax Law was voted best tax attorney in Jax. Call now for a no-cost consultation. 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
The Wright Brothers, Laurel and Hardy, Ben and Jerry. History has shown that the right partner can make all the difference. The Wright Partner provides expertise in the craft and the experience to deliver amazing results. Thomas & Associates in Jacksonville has been providing families with insurance guidance for almost 50 years. American Integrity Insurance is proud to partner with Dan Tuckman and the team at Thomas & Associates, providing Jacksonville with reliable, affordable home insurance, boaters insurance, golf cart coverage, and more. At American Integrity, we're Floridians too, so we know the unique challenges Florida homeowners face. And we have the financial strength to help you when you need us most. Couple that strength and experience with hardworking local agents like Dan, and you've got a partnership you can count on. Give Dan a call at 904-730-3900 and see how easy and affordable switching your home coverage to American Integrity can be.
A very sunny day is expected today. Only a 1 in 10 chance of rain. Our high, 83. This evening will be clear, 65 the low. And right now it is 63 here at WBOB.
All right. A couple of items this week. A lot of people have been emailing me. I have this coming Saturday. I'm buying a table for the station. Roger, my mic sounds a little hot here. Maybe it's just me. There we go. The First Coast Friends of the NRA have their 27th annual fundraiser. There's not, folks, this is going to be jeans, music, great entertainment, not a bunch of boring speakers. I'm going to be there. I've got like four tickets that I paid a lot of money for. I'm giving away. Okay, I've got a table. I'm representing the station out there. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be this Saturday from 5:30 to whenever at the Ramona Pavilion in Jacksonville. If you want further information, by the way, go to Facebook.com and just type in First Coast Friends of the NRA. I've got like four tickets to give away. If you email me, they've been blown up, ed@wbob.com. You may be able to get in. You hang out with any one of the tables out there. We'll heckle everybody. Have some fun.
Okay.
We'll be politically incorrect, but we'll be behaved. Also, Barney Bishop. Many of you know Barney. He's on with me every Friday. One of the most popular columnists in the state of Florida, former executive director of the Florida Democratic Party, a conservative Democrat, is going to be hosting us with us live in the studios this Friday, the whole 3 hours. I'm thinking about putting a little gathering maybe here at the station downstairs, or maybe I'll take us somewhere for some coffee and some gathering. Would you guys like that? No, you can't because you're busy. So anyway.
Especially on Friday.
I know, especially on. Thank goodness I see who you're busy with. Anyway, so the question is, would you like to hang out with us? There's no cost to you. I may buy coffee and stuff. Do you guys want to hang out with me and Barney for a little bit, maybe here at the Salem Center? Come by and just meet them or whatever. I mean, I'd like to meet several of you. It's a free event. Just come by and I'll pay for the coffee. Maybe I'll get some donuts or whatever. You can eat my donuts because I don't eat them. If you email me, ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com after 9 o'clock Friday morning. Just come by and hang out. I'd love to meet you, or maybe we can meet at Starbucks or somewhere. Let me know if you guys would like to, because he's going to be here live and I'd like some of you to meet him. Email me ed@wbob.com. Coming up next, is President Trump smart about the tariffs being proposed? And how will this affect business, since a lot of us get our goods from, guess where? China. We'll have that debate and that discussion coming up next. 831-0600. 904-831-0600. 0600 Talk Radio WBOB.